Good morning. I'm glad you're all here. Good. Good. I like to hear that. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And as we, this week and next week, conclude this series on the names of God, we're going to cover two that, in planning through all of this, we thought the first few are pretty heavy, what we would call heavy theologically, dealing with his character, his nature, and everything else. And then that just flows naturally into some of these other things. He is our shepherd that we saw a couple weeks ago. Mason did an excellent job last week talking about the Lord is our peace. And then today, the subject is the Lord, or Yahweh, or Jehovah, is my light, and what that means. Now we could... Excuse me. We could take a lot of time. We're not. Okay, I'm just going to set your mind at ease right now. We could take a lot of time to go through the scriptures and talk about light. We'll probably return to this, but Jesus himself said that he is the light of the world. He is the Savior of mankind, shining in the light of our darkness, bringing us to eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross for us. We also see the scriptures refer to God as light, meaning he is holy. And he is absolutely holy. He is free from all sin. He is not capable of sinning. So then that raises the question, then why are things the way they are? It's not God's fault, okay? We could say it's our fault. When God created humanity, he wanted us to freely choose to love and obey him and follow him. With that meant the necessity of a choice. You could choose to accept or reject. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam chose to reject. He chose, along with Eve, who was there, she is the one that gets a lot of the blame for it, but Adam was there too, right? So there's equal fault all around. But she took the fruit, gave in to the temptation, and plunged all of us into sin. All of us are born sinners. All of us are born on our way to eternal punishment. God could have left us that way, but in his love and his mercy, he sent the light of the world to shine in our darkness so that we could have the possibility of eternal life for those who accept Christ's sacrifice for their sin. But today, as we go through light, we're going to focus our attention on Psalm 27. And as we go through this, we'll see that David is writing and he refers to God as not just a light, but he refers to God as my light. Jehovah is light. What does that mean? Imagine you're walking through your house in the middle of the night and you see, and some of us, I think most of us, probably have maybe some night lights or some light shining here and there that you can probably navigate your way. But imagine the power goes out and it's in complete darkness. You've lived there for years. You know where the furniture is. You know where the walls are. And where everything is supposed to be. But suddenly you can't really see any of it. Your depth perception is completely off. You don't know exactly where you are. So what do? You slow down and you start to feel your way around because nobody wants to stub their feet in the middle of the night, stub their toes. If you hear a noise from the other room, suddenly that perfectly harmless noise sounds like something from a horror movie. Why? Because darkness creates uncertainty. Why? Well, you can't see what's in front of you. You don't know what you're about to run into. You don't know what's around the corner. When we can't see, our minds have a way of just kind of filling in the blanks. And that's not just true physically. It's also true spiritually. There are seasons in life when we feel like we're walking through the darkness. Excuse me, we spent the day at the ball field yesterday, as you can probably tell. But anyway, there are seasons in our lives when we feel like we're walking through a dark corridor. We can't really see what's in front of us. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what the doctor might say on our visit to him. We don't know how the financial situation might work out. We don't know what our kids are going to do. We don't know if our marriage is going to hold up the way it's supposed to. We just don't know what the future holds. And here's the problem. We want God to turn on the floodlights. We want Him to show us the entire road. We want Him to show us the beginning from the end, because that is what will make us comfortable. Bring us comfort and peace, so we think. We want Him to tell us what's coming. We want Him to tell us when it's coming and exactly how everything is going to work out. Sometimes God just doesn't give us floodlights. Sometimes He gives us a lamp. Sometimes He gives us just enough light for the next step. We can't see all the way up there, but we can certainly see there. Oh, that's where I'm supposed to step. That's where we find David in Psalm 27. He's facing enemies. He's facing danger and uncertainty. He has plenty of reasons to be afraid. And he begins this psalm with this amazing declaration. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He says, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David doesn't say, I know everything that's going to happen. He doesn't say, I know how this is going to turn out. Because the reality is, he does not. But what does he say? The Lord is my light. And in the grammar of the way that it's said here, it is very literally my light. Not just a light, but my light. It's personal. He is declaring that Yahweh Himself is the one who illuminates his darkness. David doesn't know everything, but Yahweh does. David doesn't know what's ahead. He can't see around the corner, but Yahweh can. David doesn't know how his circumstances are going to turn out, but Yahweh isn't confused by any of it. He's not taken by surprise. And that's what I want us to see this morning as we look at this next name in this Name Above All Names series. And in the original, it's Yahweh Ori. Jehovah is my light. When we can't see what's ahead, you can trust God who can see what's ahead. And as we move through this passage, we're going to see five things that we can draw out of what it means for Yahweh to be my light. And the first thing we see in the first three verses is this. Number one, Yahweh is my light, so I don't have to fear. Yahweh is my light, so I don't have to fear. Let's read these first three verses. The Lord is my light, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Again, David makes this amazing declaration at the very beginning. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? What do I have to be afraid of when God Himself is my light and my salvation? He's not writing these words from a comfortable place. He's not sitting in his palace in his comfortable sofa, sitting back, drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper and having people fan him. And he's not in that kind of a situation at all. He's surrounded by enemies. He's facing danger. He is going through difficult circumstances, is a easy way to put it. And everything that he was going through could give anybody plenty of reason to be afraid. And yet, David doesn't begin by talking about the size of his enemies. He doesn't start off going, "Oh, my enemies, they're too great. They're so big. I don't know what I'm going to do." No, he begins by talking about the greatness of God, calling Yahweh his light. Means that God is the one who gives illumination. When everything around him is dark, he can see what David cannot see. He knows what David does not know. And then David calls him his salvation and his stronghold in his life. In other words, David's security isn't found in knowing how everything is going to turn out. That's where we often make a mistake. David's security isn't found in that. It's found in knowing who holds his life in his hands. That's why he could ask, "Whom shall I fear? Yeah, my enemies are great, but you know what? My God's bigger. He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. The circumstances have not changed. David's confidence has changed, I guess you could say, because he has put his circumstances in the hands of Yahweh himself. When you're walking through something that you don't understand, the answer isn't always that God is going to explain everything in detail to you. Sometimes the answer is simply that He is your light in the darkness to take that one step that you see clearly in front of you. And as you take that step, He reveals your next step and your next step. That's what it means to follow Him as your light. So you don't have to fear. There are plenty of things in life that can make us afraid. If we go to the doctor, we have tests. Maybe we're on pins and needles because maybe we're expecting some news that maybe isn't so good. Maybe your job isn't as secure as you thought. Bills keep coming in and money isn't keeping up. Maybe there's a marriage that's struggling. Oh, on the outside, everything looks great, but when you're in the home, things may be strained. Maybe your children or grandchildren are making decisions that you know are going to hurt them. You don't know what's coming next, and if you're honest, maybe that scares you a little. But Psalm 27 reminds us that fear doesn't have to sit in the driver's seat because Yahweh is our light. You may not know, and this is a great cliche, right? You may not know who holds tomorrow, but it's a great truth. But God does. He holds tomorrow. You may not know how the situation is going to turn out, but God does because He's all-knowing. And because Yahweh is your light, You don't have to live your life imagining the worst case scenario around every corner. You know who needs that more than anybody? Ask my family, they'll tell you it's me. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. Okay? I say, just plan for the worst case scenario. When it comes, you won't be taken by surprise. It doesn't mean that you pretend that danger isn't real. It doesn't mean you're hiding your head in the sand. It means you refuse to let fear become your master. When you can't see what's ahead, remember that you're not walking into the darkness alone. Why? Because Yahweh is your light. So you don't have to fear. The second thing we see about Yahweh being our light is found in verses 4 through 6. And this is number 2. Yahweh is my light, so I desire His presence. Yahweh is my light, so I desire His presence. Let's begin reading verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. After declaring his confidence in God, David tells us what he wants more than anything else. One thing have I asked, O Lord. What is that one thing? He didn't ask for victory over his enemies. Here, he didn't ask for everything to be made comfortable again. He didn't ask for an easier life. Not an explanation for everything happening around him. David wants to dwell in the house of the Lord and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That's significant. Because it shows us that David simply doesn't want what God can give him. He's not following him in a transaction. Oh yeah, I follow you if you do this for me. He's not following him in a transactional type relationship. He wants God himself. And David knows that the safest place in the world is not necessarily a place where there are no enemies. It's a place where he is in the presence of Yahweh himself. That's why he can say that God will hide him in his shelter and lift him high up on a rock. The presence of God gives him perspective. It gives him protection. It even gives him some confidence. We often come to God wanting him to turn the lights on so that we can understand our circumstances. David's deepest desire here is simply just to be close to the one who is the light. The greatest answer to our uncertainty isn't always more information. We live in an age of information. If you want to know something, let's put it this way. Even when I was a kid, that was still a while ago, but not as long ago as some of you were kids, but that's another story, I guess. But I can remember if you had a question, you had to go find an encyclopedia. You had to actually look it up. You had to do your own research. Now, what do? I wonder. Oh, okay. Of course, you always trust what the internet says, right? It's always right, because it's the internet. They can't lie on the internet, can they? But the answer isn't always more information. Sometimes we're not even acting on the information that we have. Sometimes it's just simply a greater awareness of the very presence of God in our lives for those who belong to Him, for those who belong to Christ, who have accepted Christ's sacrifice for their sins. When we know that, our awareness becomes such that we just want Him. And we need to be honest about what we actually want from God. Sometimes we would never verbalize it this way, but sometimes we simply don't want God. We want God to just fix our problems. We want the disease, the illness gone. We want an instant repair for a relationship. We want our kids to make the right choices. We want the financial pressure to be relieved. We want the job situation to be settled. That's what we seek. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with praying for these things, but sometimes we do so in a way that we just simply use God as a crutch. Again, there's nothing wrong with asking God for these things, but David reminds us that there is something greater than simply getting the answer we want. It is having the presence of God with us while we wait for the answer. And He is enough. If God gives you everything you want, but you don't have Him, you've missed the greatest gift. So when life gets difficult, don't just ask, God, get me out of this. It's okay to ask that because, trust me, I've asked that several times. Even this week, God, get me out of this. But you simply ask, God, let me know that you are in the middle of this with me. And He is. Get into His Word, pray, worship, come to church, be with God's people. Stay close to God's people. Don't isolate yourself. Sometimes God's greatest work in a dark season isn't changing your circumstances immediately. It's teaching you that in His presence is enough to sustain you in them. Just simply being in His presence. Yahweh is your light, so you desire His presence. But the third thing we see in this chapter about Yahweh being our light is this. Number 3 in verses 7 through 10. Yahweh is my light, so I seek Him when I am confused. I seek Him when I am confused. Let's read verses 7 through 10. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. These are some interesting verses here. And beginning of verse 7, the entire tone of this psalm just changes. It's like verse 1, God is my light. But then it comes to verse 2 and it's like, oh, please don't forsake me. And I know you haven't. It's like verse 2 becomes a country song. But just like as David expressed tremendous confidence, he now cries out, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. That's important because biblical faith doesn't mean you never struggle. Some people think, well, if I'm struggling, that means I'm just not where I need to be. David can be confident in God and still cry out to God. In fact, his confidence is precisely what causes him to cry out to the Lord. He knows where to go when things just simply do not make sense to him. In verse 8, David responds to God's invitation to seek my face by saying, your face, Lord, do I seek. David isn't running away from God because he doesn't understand what God's doing. He's running toward God. That's something we need to learn. When life gets confusing, our natural tendency sometimes is to pull away. Maybe even become bitter. Try to figure everything out for ourselves. David does something different. He seeks the face of Yahweh, even when he feels abandoned. He continues to seek. And verse 10 is particularly powerful. He says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." David is making a point here instead of making a biographical documentation about his life, about his family life. David uses this intimate human relationship between parent and child as a measuring stick for abandonment. Even if the most dependable people in your life, even if the most dependable human relationships fail, yet Yahweh always remains faithful. When you can't understand His hand, seek His face. And here's the thing, when we don't understand what God's doing, sometimes we have a tendency to do some pretty foolish things. We complain. We might get bitter. Maybe even stop reading our Bibles. Sometimes it means a withdrawal from God's people. We start listening to every voice except for God's. And sometimes we make major decisions while we're angry or afraid or confused. But David shows us a better way here. Seek God's face. If you don't understand what God's doing, don't walk away from Him. Tell Him you're hurting. We see this all through the Psalms. There are so many times when David just pours out his heart to the Lord. But he wrote these under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And keep in mind, David isn't saying these things with a fish shaking at the heavens. He's not saying it like that. But here's the thing, God isn't intimidated by your real questions. He's not intimidated by those. But don't confuse having questions with having permission to abandon your faith. Bring your questions to the one who has the answers. When you can't understand God's hand, seek God's face. You don't have to pretend that everything is just fine. You just need to know where you need to take your troubles to. Yahweh is your light. So seek Him when you are confused. But then the fourth thing we see in verses 11 through 13 is this. Number four, Yahweh is my light, so I follow His way. Notice what he says. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David's prayer here in verse 11 is, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Notice what David again does not ask for. He doesn't say, Lord, show me exactly what's going to happen here. He says, teach me your way. David understands that he doesn't need to know everything about the road ahead in order to walk faithfully on the road that God has put in front of him. He asked God to teach him and to lead him. That's what it means to trust Yahweh as our light. A light doesn't necessarily, again, show you the entire road 10 miles down the road. It gives you enough illumination to know where to put your feet. That's what it means to follow him in his ways. David knows that his enemies are still there. And he doesn't know exactly how everything's going to turn out. But he believes in verse 13 that he will see the goodness of the Lord. He says, in the land of the living. That's faith. David doesn't know what God is going to do. But he knows that God is good. And therefore he can keep walking in his ways. Sometimes we're frustrated because, again, God doesn't show us the whole plan. But maybe he hasn't shown us the whole plan because he wants us to just simply trust him one step at a time. One of the biggest mistakes that we make in our daily lives is demanding that God show us the entire plan before we'll obey him. Lord, I'll take this next step if you promise me what's going to happen 5 steps from now. But that's not normally how God works. Can he? Yes. Has he? Sure. But is that normal? Not necessarily. David says, teach me your way. Lead me. In other words, God, show me what I need to know for that next step. Maybe you don't know what the next 5 years are going to look at. You know what question that I despise more than anything? Well, there are many of them, but one of the things that just gets me when people ask this, because I have no idea. What's your 5-year plan? Well, I mean, right now it's to be breathing, okay? But that may change. You never know what's around the corner. But we're taking it one step at a time because I've learned a long time ago, you can make long-term plans, but you know what the old adage says, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him what your plans are because he'll change those. That's why we follow him one step at a time. You don't know what it's going to look like. But here's the thing, you don't need to know what the next 5 years are going to look like. Yeah, it's good to have goals. I get that. I understand that. We make goals. We make plans. We say, I hope by this time that this is what we can accomplish. And we try to do those things prayerfully. But here's the thing. You don't need to know. Do you know what obedience looks like today? That's the real question. And if you do, then do that. Do what God's Word tells you to do. Tell the truth. Forgive the person you need to forgive. Stay faithful to your marriage. Raise your kids. Be a good influence on your grandkids and those that are sort of adopted into your family. Go to work. Serve the Lord. Give generously. Pray. Open your Bibles daily. Take the next faithful step. And here's the thing. God doesn't owe you a map of the entire journey. He does promise to lead you. And that means we follow him because he is our light. And if Yahweh is your light, then you can take the next step even when you can't see the next mile. Yahweh is your light, so follow his way. And the last thing that we're going to see is in the very last verse, verse 14, number 5 is this. Yahweh is my light, so I can wait for him. Notice what it says. David ends this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by saying this in verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. He closes this psalm with instruction that on the surface it might seem simple enough, right? Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Waiting is difficult because we usually want our answers now. We want to know what's coming. We want to know how the situation is going to work out. We want God to flip the switch and light up the whole road in front of us. But David says, wait for the Lord. Why can he wait? Because he has already established that Yahweh is his light. David may know, he may not know what tomorrow holds, but Yahweh does. David may not be able to see around that next corner, but Yahweh can. He may not understand what God's doing, but Yahweh is not confused. So David can wait. And notice that waiting doesn't mean sitting around simply doing nothing, twiddling your thumbs. He says, be strong. Let your heart take courage. In other words, keep trusting. Keep obeying. Keep moving forward and leave tomorrow in God's hands. You don't have to see everything. You just have to trust the God who sees everything. Because he is light. This may be the hardest application of this psalm because nobody likes waiting. We want answers, and you know when we want them? Yesterday. We are a culture that will stand in front of a microwave set on 2 minutes begging it to hurry up. Especially when we're hungry, right? We want God to tell us what he's doing and when he's doing it. But sometimes God just simply says, just wait a minute. Just wait. Just wait. And waiting on God isn't giving up. It's not just sitting around doing nothing. Biblical waiting is trusting God while continuing to obey him. You keep praying. You keep serving. You keep showing up. Keep doing what's right, even when you haven't got the answers yet. You don't have to manufacture an answer because God hasn't given you one. You don't have to panic because you can't see the road ahead. Yahweh can see around the corner. He knows what's coming. He knows what he's doing. And he knows what you need. So, what do? You wait for him. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. The light may not be shining far down the road as you like, but it is shining far enough to take the next step. Yahweh is your light, so you can wait for him. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're in the dark. Not physically, because after all, the lights are on, right? You can see perfectly well, but you don't know what's coming. Maybe that frightens you a little bit. Maybe you've been asking God, what are you doing? Maybe you've been saying, why? Where are you taking me in all of this? Maybe you've been saying, God, I just need you to show me what's going to happen. I wish I could tell you that God is always going to give you that answer, but you know what? Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he gives you the whole picture. And those are glorious times, you know? Sometimes he gives you just a glimpse. And that's all that you need. Sometimes he gives you just enough light for the next step. But Psalm 27 teaches us that you don't need to know everything. Because God sees everything. You don't need to understand everything that God is doing. You need to know Yahweh, the Lord God, because he is your light. When you're afraid, Yahweh is your light. When you're confused, Yahweh is your light. When you don't know which way to go, Yahweh is your light. When you're waiting for an answer, Yahweh is your light. When you can't see around the corner, Yahweh is already there. That's why David can finish this song by saying, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Again, notice David, what he doesn't say here. He doesn't say, understand everything. He doesn't say, figure everything out. He doesn't say, make sure you know what's coming. He says, wait for the Lord. Why? Because the God you're waiting on is the one who sees what you cannot see. You may not know, again, what tomorrow holds, but God does. You may not know what's around the corner again, but God does. So take the next step. Trust Him. Follow Him. Seek His face. And when the road gets dark, don't panic. Look to the light. Because God, Jehovah, Yahweh, is my light.